Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Welcome to another edition of Career Callings, and I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And at Career Callings, our purpose is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. I'm excited about my conversation with today's guest, who is Brannon Massey. Brannon Massey has built and sold several businesses in his career, including a flooring construction company that led all of the flooring projects on the television show Extreme Makeover, Season 9, Episode 1. Brannon is a certified coach through the John Maxwell team, where he works one-on-one and with groups in leadership training, business coaching, and speaking. Brannon Massey, welcome to the Career Callings Radio Show. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me here. It's going to be a pleasure.
Man, it's my pleasure to have you on the show, and I appreciate you taking time out of your day to do so. And, you know, I just gave a brief introduction of who you are, but I'm sure I left out a lot of pertinent facts that you might want other people to know. So take a minute and tell us a little bit more about Brannon Massey.
Well, I focus on leading leaders and coaching coaches with a company we started called Business Influence Group, which you mentioned. We call it BIG. The focus of BIG is to assist other business owners and marketing directors and salespeople grow in their leadership and in their influence. As we grow in our influence and they grow in their influence, the natural reaction is they live a more fulfilled and more prosperous life. And a couple of years ago, I started a company called Dr. Energy Saver, where I'm also acting as a sales manager there. So my focus and my passion is to help people in sales, marketing, leadership, and coaches that are, you know, there's a ton of career coaches out there, a ton of business coaches and life coaches, and I'd love to help them coach others to a greater degree of success. And that's really my passion at this point.
That's awesome. Well, tell me a little bit about your family, too.
Yeah. Well, I've been married for 20 years. I have a 19-year-old boy who's grown and gone. It's out of the house. I have a 9-year-old boy who is still in the house, praise God.
At 9 years old, I hope so.
He's not left home yet, so no, he's doing good. He's in fourth grade, doing great. My wife is also my business partner. She's been coaching and training and doing a lot of spiritual enhancement and helping individuals in their spiritual walk along with their interpersonal relationships. And she's now focusing on helping veterans with PTSD and anybody who suffers with anxiety and stress. She helps them walk through that process and really helps individuals live a more stress-free, less anxiety and less PTSD for individuals. And she's been an extreme asset for us. And I'm extremely proud to be her husband. And I definitely married up when I met her.
I know exactly what you mean, pal. I, too, have been married for 20 years, and yeah, definitely. My wife got the short end of that stick when she married me. I got the long end of it. I'm very grateful that I did, and I can definitely identify with you. We've got 3 kids, and our oldest is 18 in college now, and I got a 15-year-old son, an 18-year-old daughter, and a 11-year-old daughter, so I'm right there with you, pal. Know where you are. Tell me a little bit about this. I want to kind of know how the Lord has led you vocationally along your vocational journey. Tell us kind of how you got to where you are today in your career.
Robbie, I wish I could tell you that I was smart enough to figure it out and put a plan together, and it came together as a plan. However, that's not what happened. So virtually, when I was a young man, a teenager, I bought and sold stuff and tried to figure out a way to make a living because I didn't really want to work at the, you know, at minimum wage. And so right after high school, I bought into a partnership with my uncle. And that really was just the beginning of me being introduced to business and into the flooring industry. After a couple of years, I sold that company to my uncle, started another company, sold that company. None of these things were sold for a lot of money. I didn't get rich off of anything at that point. But it gave me a lot of experience, gave me a lot of passion for building something from nothing, and a good work ethic, putting together a plan to acquire customers and clients, which at the time I did not know anything about. But over the course of time, I learned a lot about how to do that. So after buying and selling a couple of flooring companies, we started an advertising company to assist one of the flooring companies, and the advertising company just took off extremely well. And it fit a niche in the marketplace that needed, the construction industry needed that back in the early, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. It needed something to kind of hit the market and help contractors acquire more business. So that company did well. We hired a staff, which led me into a direct mail company, which led me to a telemarketing company. So all those things was just taking the next best step that I didn't really have a plan for. I had no clue 20 years later that I'd be helping many companies take the next step, and many companies put processes in place and put people in place to help them have a sustainable business with sustainable profits, that we could look at the numbers and say, hey, look, this just doesn't make sense from a financial standpoint. This doesn't make sense from a people standpoint, or you're doing this great and doing that great. So simply, it was just being disciplined enough to not quit throughout my career and not to give up on my entrepreneur spirit and just keep going, making mistake after mistake after mistake, and then winning, and then making a mistake and winning. You know, just that path of just not quitting and just getting up. Eventually, I found success. I found what I feel is a happiness and joy, and able to help other people. And it was quite by accident in many cases.
Well, you know, I hear exactly what you're saying. I have had a previous guest who had a great tagline that I have told many other people since I had him on the show. He said, I was just too stupid to quit. So, you know what? I guess that's another way of saying I was persistent. So good for you to be persistent and allow the Lord to direct your steps and take you which direction he wanted you to go to bring you where he has you to today. So during that journey, no doubt it was filled with both ups and downs. And what I'd like you to do, if you don't mind, is take a second to tell us about your worst career failure. Tell us about the lowest of the lows and what lesson you learned from that experience.
Robbie, do I have to only pick one?
Yeah, I'm sure we've all had more than one. But yeah, pick the one that just jumps out in your mind as being the worst of all the above.
Here's the one that sticks out in my mind that was the worst. And it wasn't the most, it wasn't the latest. It was just the one I think that taught me the most. And if I think back on that time, I think back, it was 1999. Life was great. Business was great. I was doing tons of cash flow. Had crews up and down the East Coast installing flooring and managing flooring crews and doing high-end commercial work. And I had an accountant who was a very good accountant, but I didn't listen to him very good, which is not a wise thing to do. Right. So back in 1999, there was a time where I woke up on a Friday morning, and I never did this in basically my entire life. I never really woke up on a Friday morning. I always checked my bank accounts. I always did all this stuff in the evenings and did my finances in the afternoon. But I woke up this morning, I just felt my gut was saying, go check online and get ready for payroll, because payroll was due on this Friday. I woke up early, 6 o'clock or so. Not early, but I was online early, which I don't typically do. And at about 6 o'clock, I looked on my online bank accounts, And every account, every business account that I had was negative.
Hmm. That's not a good Friday morning.
No, it's not a good Friday morning, especially when you had plenty of money the night before. Mm-hmm. So I look in there and I'm like, -$15,000, -$20,000. And these accounts are all supposed to have positive numbers in there, not negative. So what happened is the federal government decided that it was time for me to actually pay up. They sent me these warnings, and I was young and dumb and, you know, just didn't heed to them as well as I should have. I do that now, by the way.
Yeah, I bet.
I do it now. I don't ignore it at all anymore. It's probably top priority. But back here in 1999, it was, you know, things were going good. I just kind of let that part lapse. And my accountant says, hey, you make this deposit, make this deposit. And I just never did. So all my accounts were negative at this point. And so payroll was due and the IRS levied. Basically what happened, the IRS levied all my accounts. And so I have payroll due this Friday. I have, you know, everything's kind of supposed to be paid. And I have no money or no resources for money to pay my payroll this day when I had enough money into my accounts the day before to pay several weeks of payroll and all my bills. But when the IRS takes the money, they take it out first, and then everything that was coming through your accounts come out second. So therefore, it all goes negative, and you get, in my case, thousands of dollars worth of over limit fees and bad check fees, and then you got to go pay all these vendors bad checks and all this stuff. So that journey woke me up. It woke me up that day. I will tell you that day I did make my payroll. I did pay all the bills. I did pay the government. I did pay my taxes. And I came out on top after a long, long, hard fight.
How'd you get the money for the payroll that day? I'm just curious about that.
Well, I ran. what I did that morning, I went ahead and sent my crews off to work. And everybody went to work. All the trucks left. And I got on the phone and I called every customer and everybody who ever owed me any money that was past due on any bills or past due on my accounts receivable. And I just called every one of them. Says, look, I need my check. I need to be paid today. I'm coming by. When's a good time for me to come by? And I went by 7 or 8 clients and collected enough money to get my accounts out of the negative and pay my payroll. So it was quite a stressful day for me. I gave some of my customers that were 60, 90 days past due. I gave them discounts, whatever it took. I just did whatever it took to pay my payroll. I could not let my crews and the guys and the men and the ladies that were working for me that day or that week and that month and that year, and for years they've been working for me. I didn't want to tell them, hey, look, you don't have a check today. I'm sorry. That would have been very, very, that would have been the next hardest thing I'd ever had to do. But I didn't have to do that day.
That's tough. That's tough. What would you say is the biggest lesson you learned from that experience?
You know, the biggest lesson I learned from that experience, I mean, there's so many things I could talk about. But the biggest lesson I learned is that, well, for one, you should definitely listen to your accountant, pay attention and pay bills and stay on top of things. Don't cut corners. That's for one. But deeper than that, the thing that I learned is that people are ultimately decent people. My clients that didn't pay me, they paid me. My crews, they stuck with me. My employees, they stuck with us. My accountant stuck with me. And so overall, people are decent people. In life's a journey, don't quit. Don't quit on that step, because you don't know if that is the next step is the step that takes you to freedom, or if the next step takes you to the cliff that eventually will lead you to freedom. So don't quit. People are decently overall good, and work hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. And no doubt those folks later on down the road, some of them, at least I would imagine, probably found out what happened and were rewarding you for your diligence and trying to make it right. So kudos for you for the hard work you put into to make it right. And that's a wrap on segment number one of today's edition of Career Callings. Come back in a few for segment number two.
digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources.
Discipline, mental toughness, physical conditioning, personal responsibility, work ethic, and a great way to pay for college. What am I talking about? The Olympic sport of fencing. Fencing builds all these character traits, and the Knights of Siena coaches who train tomorrow's champions today can help your child or grandchild develop these traits. To learn more, go to knightsofsiena.com. That's Knights of Siena, KnightsofSiena.com. And mention Career Callings to get your first month free.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back from the break to today's edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, and email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. Now back to our interview with Brandon Massey. Brandon, how would you say that you're currently using your career to impact others for Christ?
You know, I guess my passion in all my life since I started my, my second or third floor covering company, has been to impact others. My desire has been to mentor and lead up leaders and help others grow and live out their faith in their workplace. As a marketplace ministry and as a business that believes in giving back. So currently, as I'm leading leaders and I'm coaching coaches and as I'm working with companies, I find many times that the relationships that we start, that many people are just afraid to, especially business owners, they're afraid to implement biblical principles in a business because they're just afraid of what the employees will think, what others will think. And I just say, look, it doesn't matter what they think. You're here to serve one person. You're here to serve one being. And that's God, that's Christ. And once you serve that, then the rest of it will take care of itself. So as I'm coaching individuals, I don't hide my my faith. I don't hide, just don't hide it. It's, I wear it on my sleeve, like a chip on my shoulder that people can see. And, well, the chip is actually a good chip, not a bad chip.
There you go.
So you know, most of the time you say you have a chip on your shoulder. Well, that means you're in a bad mood. Well, I have a chip on my shoulder, and I'm gonna share it with you, and I'm gonna tell you about it. And I'm not gonna be overtly, you know, Bible thumping in your face or anything, but I'm gonna love you, and I'm gonna care for you, and I'm gonna help you, and I'm gonna serve you. And as I serve you, and I love you, then they'll know that there's something different. And once they know that, then they ask questions, and questions become answers.
I hear you. A lot of our listeners are business owners or want to be. So what would you say, with all the experiences you've had in creating and selling businesses and now coaching business owners, what would you say would be the number or the top three things that you would tell a new startup business owner to do in order to be successful?
Well, in the real estate business, they say location, location, location. Well, that's not what's most important here. I think what's most important here is research, research, and research. Make sure that if you're going to be a startup and you're thinking, do I want to start a company? And if I want to start a company, how will it look? The number one thing I think that we do as entrepreneurs is we get excited and then we start moving. And excitement with movement does not always create clarity, and it does not always create success. So it's good to be excited, but we must always do our due diligence on research. After we research, 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 do some more research. Then after that, put a plan together. After we put a plan together, go ahead and, okay, how do we prepare? How do we make the commitment? What type of commitment is it going to take? Make sure we're willing to pay the price to do the work. Once we make the commitment, we're willing to do the price. Then say, okay, where are we going to go? Where are we going to do it? Then be willing to do the work. Once we do the work it takes to start up and all that stuff, on a very regular basis, sometimes daily, sometimes weekly, sometimes monthly, but on a very regular basis, stop, think about it, and be self-aware. Where's the company? How's it doing? Where am I? How am I doing? And being self-aware of where I'm at personally and where is the company at? Because if we don't take time to plan and reassess where we're at, then many times we'll get off course. So to sum that up, I would say to research, plan, do, and then analyze.
Research, plan, do, and analyze regularly to make sure you're still on the right path. That's good advice. Very good advice. Now, on our show, Career Crawlings, we have established time and time again, matter of fact, we establish every week that the Bible is the number one book that anybody should consume to improve their life and their business, for that matter. But outside of the Bible, what would be one book you would recommend for our listeners to read and why?
I would recommend them read books every day and every week. But if it's a new startup company or a new startup individual and they're just if it's a startup or an individual who has had companies and or is kind of in the downward section and kind of struggling, I would recommend a book called The Dream Giver by Bruce Wilkerson. And I'd recommend that book because it's an allegory in it. It's a relatable book that you can self-analyze and kind of help you understand where are you at in the process and realizing that the destiny is really not the destiny. The destiny is the journey, and the journey is part of the process. And to don't beat yourself up too bad about wherever you're at on the journey, because it is a journey. And that book is a great book to kind of just give somebody encouragement. It's not really a business advice book, but it's an encouragement book to say this is what's to be expected.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good read. Sounds like a very good read. If you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go out into the real world?
Well, let's see. I would think back to what I did for my son and four other dads did for our sons. And we put them on a journey when they were 12 to the time they were 18 and out. And we put together a program called RACE. And if RACE, and for high school students or anybody, RACE stands for, and this is mostly talking to men or to young guys, RACE stands for reject passivity. Because we don't want passiveness, and that's what we have so much of in this culture, in American cultures. We're passive, and we want to reject that as men and as people of influence. We need to reject passivity. And the A in RACE is accept responsibility. So if you reject passivity and you want to, then you have to accept the responsibility. Be responsible. Take the initiative. Be responsible as an individual, as a man in the culture, as a leader. Take that responsibility. And C is courageously lead. So lead courageously. Do not be a coward. So as a high school student, I would say it's time for you to courageously lead. Do not be afraid. And when you are afraid, it's okay. Lead anyway. And then E for RACE is expect great rewards and expect a great outcome. Because as a man, as an individual that rejects passivity, expects great rewards and leads courageously, then great things are bound to happen. Timing, hey, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but it will happen. Stay the course, run the race, and it's worth it.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, I have been blessed by our conversation today, Brandon, and I know a lot of other folks have been as well. So if someone wants to reach out to you and follow up to this interview, what would be the best way people can connect with you?
The best way would be to go to our website, businessinfluencegroup.com. You can look me up on our Meet the Team page, and you can email me. But businessinfluencegroup.com. They can also call my office, which is 864-442-6900. That's 864-442-6900. If they go to our website, they'll see that I do two events every month, that they could come to two events in Greenville at the Commerce Club. We do two events there a month. They could look on there and they could sign up for one of those two events, and that'd be a great way to come and meet us as well.
That sounds fantastic, and I'll be sure to put links at careercallings.net with the webpage that goes with today's program there, so people can link directly over to your website and learn more about those events and such. So, Master Brandon Massey, thanks so much for being a guest on today's edition of Career Calling, sir.
Robbie, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having this. I appreciate the opportunity, and I pray blessings to all the ones who are listening.
Amen to that, brother. Amen. And that's a wrap on today's edition of Career Callings. Go to careercallings.net/radio to get a copy of today's broadcast with Brandon Massey, and also to access all the bonus material that we talked about but could not fit into today's show. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.
To learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings.
What would you say is your biggest career success?
My biggest career success came out of that point. After, you know, months after that, really became the stepping point and the stepping stone for my biggest career success. After that, I analyzed my company. I said, okay, what are the 80% of the things that I'm doing that's bringing me 20% of my income? What's the 20% of things that I'm doing that's bringing me 80% of my income? What are the things that I really am passionate about? What are the things that I'm not so passionate about? What do I need to stop doing? What do I need to start doing? And it gave me a perspective to stop, think, and then plan. And so the biggest success came right after that, and it was to stay married, stay in love with my wife, stay connected to my employees to stay connected with me, and to build a company after a major setback that went on to be a very successful and did very large commercial work and that was known in the industry of a company that would do the work well. But to stay married through that process and to keep a happy family through that process was probably the most difficult, but also the most rewarding, because I'm still married and still have a great relationship with my wife. And so the greatest success is that we stayed the course and found peace inside our own self.
Amen. Amen. That's good. You know, when people are looking for a direction in their lives vocationally, one of the things that can kind of give them some direction on which direction or give them some direction on which way to go or which way not to go is a self-analysis of their biggest weaknesses and their biggest strengths. So just speaking to that for a second, what would you say is your biggest weakness in the workplace?
You know, for many years and still to this day, my biggest weakness, in my opinion, is hiring. I need assistance in hiring people. I love everybody, so therefore I want to hire everybody. But reality, everybody's not what's best for your team. So analyzing and figuring out who is the best people to get on the team, and then to keep the best people and to hire great people, has been really one of my biggest weaknesses. But thankfully, I've had good insight with others who help me in that area, where I don't have to rely on my strength to do that, because that is definitely a weakness in myself.
Mm-hmm. How about the other side of that coin? How about your biggest strength?
I think the biggest strength would be, I would say, believing in people, caring about the people more than caring about the profit, caring about the people more than caring about the work, and caring for the people more than just what can you do for me as a boss or as an employer, but what can we do as a team to propel everyone forward so that everybody meets their own personal goals. So I think the biggest strength is really caring about people and caring about listening to find out what their goals are. And if their goals and my goals and the business goals all match, then great, let's keep working together. If not, great, let's see what we can do to transition that individual or that group of individuals to a place where they can be ultimately fulfilled and do what's best for them. Because if they do what's best for them, then ultimately that's what's best.
You know, that is so true. And a lot of times it's difficult to see that. And not only is it difficult to see that for an employer, it's difficult to see that for an employee. I know a lot of times when people lose their job, certainly, understandably, the first reaction is one of fear and anxiety. But sometimes it really is the best thing that can, well, I'd say many times it's the best thing that can happen to that person. And even though that may sound odd, let me just explain why. My mother worked for a particular company for about 20 years, maybe 25, and they let her go in a cost-cutting phase many, many years ago. And she, as would anybody, was a little bit scared, a little bit afraid. But not long after that happened, she was able to land a similar job with a totally different kind of company. And she was never really happy at the first company, but she absolutely fell in love with the company she retired from, because they had a different kind of corporate culture. They treated their people much more like human beings, had a shared value system, and she was just thoroughly happy. in her remaining work years. And a lot of times the Lord will allow adversity to come into our lives like that. And during that time of pivoting, we don't feel very comfortable with it. But once we get to the other side of that pivot, we can see the Lord moving us in a direction that was really for His glory and for our betterment. So when such times come when we're parting ways with someone in a way that we think is awful, perhaps it's actually for our betterment, and we need to be patient and wait on the Lord to show us whether it is or whether it isn't. How about this, Brandon? Was there a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if the answer is yes, how did He kind of clear the smoke for you and clear all that up for you?
Several times. When you're an entrepreneur and you start companies and you you buy into companies and you work with other individuals, there's a lot of areas where you're just not quite clear whether you should move forward or back up or work with an individual or not work with them. But I'll talk specifically about, I'll tell you a quick story about, we moved to Jacksonville, Florida a few years ago, a couple, 3 years ago. For a brief amount of time, my wife and my son went to a college down there. And during that time, I had to decide, was I going to start a company? Was I going to invest in companies? Was I going to get a job? What was I going to do? So ultimately, I decided I'd go get a job that I would work at for a couple of years until I moved back up here to the upstate. So what I did is I went out one day and got a sales position. The second place I stopped at, I accepted a job, and it was good. And I told the owner of that company that I would give him 90 days and we'd decide if it was a good fit for me and a good fit for him. I gave him 90 days. I was the number two sales rep in the company. When there was other reps, and I was number two after 90 days. And I talked to the owner and said, okay, I gave you my 90 days. Here's my numbers. Here's all the other numbers. Let's renegotiate. And the owner decided not to renegotiate the pay or the anything. So it brought confusion because the owner was what we'd say is a Christian or a believer or whatever. And, you know, I'm doing the right thing. And you would think that by walking in unity with believers or Christians or whatever you want to call it in a spiritual walk, that he and I would want to be in unity and keep moving. So it brought confusion when there was not a compensation plan that was equal to the other employees that had been there for a longer time. So I had to make a decision. Am I going to stay or am I going to go? So about 95 days, I talked to my wife and I really said, you know what? If it's not going to be healthy for me emotionally and I'm going to feel unappreciated, then I think it's best for me to move. So I went to the owner and said, I think I need to move. I'm going to move on and go. And then after that, he said, you know what? I will take care of you. I'll compensate you the way that everybody else is compensated. I'll get you on the same commission plan. And at that point, there was more confusion. So when you have confusion, you have to decide, what are you going to do? So I ultimately decided to move on and not to let him, not to take the compensation plan that he offered afterwards, because I just felt like I wanted to be appreciated from the beginning and not because of my willingness to leave. I didn't want to be taken advantage of. So the confusion there is sometimes a tough decision, because then all of a sudden you are unemployed. You have no cash flow. You have no, you know, you had to go back to the drawing board. What am I going to do now? And so I guess when there's confusion, if you just do what you feel is right in your heart and do what's right in your being, in prayer, in unity with your spouse or significant other, and just know that it's going to be okay. Now, I wouldn't leave a job if you don't have, you know, if you don't have enough money to pay for your bills. Obviously, I wouldn't quit immediately, but make sure you have a plan A and a plan B, but ultimately stand up for what you believe is right, and whatever that cost is, it's worth the cost.
I hear you. Just out of curiosity, what was your next step after that? What happened next?
My next step, I went to another organization and went into sales, straight commission sales, which I don't personally have a problem with that, because I can do it. So I went back into another sales position, and gratefully so, after my first 30 days in the field, I was the number one producer in Florida state in Jacksonville. After 60 days, I was number five in the state of Florida. And after 90 days, I was number one in the state of Florida. So I did okay.
Yeah, I think you did.
So it worked out, but it was hard. It was real hard, but it was worth it. Now my wife says, "Hey, look, you're working a lot of hours." I said, "Well, sweetheart, it's what you have to do starting something when you don't have any clients, you don't have a pipeline, and you don't have anybody, you don't know anybody because I'm new to the community, and I have only been in the community for 6 months at this point. When you're new in a community and you work, it's hard. You have to go out and network and build relationships and gain trust so that you can do okay and work hard and accomplish the goals that you have or that you want to accomplish so that you can take care of your family. And ultimately, by taking care of your family, you can live a happy, peaceful life.
Amen. Amen. As you have been sharing your faith throughout your career, have you ever been faced with a challenge to your faith in the workplace? And if so, tell us a little bit about that and how you reacted to it.
There's many, many, many times that that you're challenged in your faith. I can talk about financially challenged. I can talk about, do we cut corners? Do we skimp on a product? Do we do any of those types of things? Do we, look at other things? Do we, all kinds of things that we can look at and say, do we do this? And can I say that I've been perfect the whole time? Absolutely not. Can I say that I'm better today than I was 20 years ago? Absolutely. And that's the goal. The goal is to be better today than you were yesterday and better tomorrow than you are today. And to predetermine what are you going to do before the opportunity arises. If we have a predetermined goal or predetermined outlook, we say, you know what, if I have an opportunity to skimp on a product or to put in 15 minutes less time or do anything that's not going the extra mile, if we know in our mind and we've already predetermined that that does not fit within our core values, then it's not really a decision anymore. The decision was made years ago, and now it's just living out that decision and keeping that decision on the forefront of our mind. So therefore, it doesn't haunt us every time an opportunity arises to do the wrong thing or to do something that's not uplifting. It's predetermined, so therefore it's not near as big of an issue, and it's a whole lot easier to live in success and live in a peaceful state of mind when you know that if tomorrow a beautiful lady comes into the office, catches your eye, and it's the lady of your dreams, but you're happily married, it's easy to say, hey, that does not entice me because I've predetermined that's not going to entice me. If you say, hey, look, I'm not going to cheat somebody out of 50 cents, much less $50, much less $50,000, because it's better to do the right thing up front. It just doesn't, take that enticement away.
Yeah, that's a great habit to get into in our lives, to build into our lives if we don't already have that habit. Just wake up every day with a determination to do what the Lord says to do and to run away from that temptation or to combat it with Scripture as Christ did when Satan was tempting him in the wilderness. Definitely a good piece of advice there. Has there ever been a time in your life when God was actually calling you down a specific career path that you knew it was His call and you just did not want to go down that direction? Has anything like that ever happened to you before? And if it has, what happened with that situation?
I think that back in probably eight or 10 years ago, God was calling me. I remember being at my home and I wrote on a piece of paper, leading leaders, and I stuck that on my door. And I knew that that's what God called me to do. I knew that that's what God wanted me to do. But I just didn't know how to do it effectively. I didn't know how to make that so that I could actually physically do that on a daily basis and live out my purpose. And so if you say, how did you do it or what, how did that work? He was calling me there 10 or 15 years ago, and I just didn't know how to do it effectively. So I don't know if that's answering your question, but as he was calling me there, not knowing how, but eventually taking the steps, and now it's what we do, it's what I do, it's actually fulfilling his purpose in my life and my purpose on this earth.
Well, I tell you what, speak to that a little bit more. How did he bring you to an understanding of how to do what he called you to do?
Reword the question. Give me a little bit more.
Sure. When he called you initially, you said you knew it was your call, but you did not know how to do it. So how did you learn eventually to do what you're doing today? I mean, what were the steps God took you through to show you how to do the what he had called you to?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm constantly reading. I'm constantly studying. I'm constantly going to seminars and constantly going to trainings. And so I met some individuals. And I went to Spain. I went to Spain for 10 days, met some individuals, and became immersed into missionary training and teaching and training others. And then I'm just kind of continuously walked through meeting people that would mentor me and walk me down a journey to say, this is my passion. This is my journey. This is what I want to do. How do we do it? And through seeking mentorship and seeking others' advice who are doing it, who have done it, and who have done it well, seeking their advice and just letting them lead me down a path and down a road that would ultimately show me how to do it. And then the John Maxwell team, I went and got certified with him probably 6 years ago, 5-6 years ago. That was a big part of helping me. My brother Brian has helped me and walked me down, and others just give me good, solid advice and just be humble enough to say, you know what, I do not know how to do it totally. I have experience in this and I have experience in that, and I'm great here and I'm great there, but I'm awful at this and I'm awful at that. And just being very self-aware and just seeking mentorship and letting others show the way so that you can just walk the way. And then once you do what they've done, then you'll get what they've got, and it works.
That's good. What would you say is the number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
Driving my career success, I guess the number one habit that is important to me is just taking personal time to be with me. Taking personal time to get along. For me, it's early in the morning before my wife and before my kids, before the day starts. It's waking up early and just being with me and getting a clear vision in my head and in my heart on my day, my week, my month, my year, and just saying, okay, God, here I am. Let's talk. Here I am, God. Let's just chat. Let's take a walk or whatever. And this is like my favorite position is I personally lay down on the floor and put my feet up on a chair while I'm laying on the floor, and I just hang out with me. And that is, if we don't take time to be with me and we don't take time to be with ourselves and we're not comfortable with ourselves, then it tends to be that we're always running from ourselves, and we're the worst ones to run from because we're always there.
Yeah, I never heard it said that way. I kind of like the way that came out. Just out of curiosity, what time in the morning do you get up?
Whenever I wake up, I don't set an alarm clock, but typically between 4 and 5 o'clock, I just wake up. And when I wake up, I just get up, and it's my time.
That's good. What about your number one business habit? It making an assumption that perhaps your number one business habit may be different from your number one personal habit. If it is, tell us what that is that's helping you drive your career success.
You know, it all goes back to being happy with me and being open to communicate with others. And my number one business success or business habit is relating and communicating and listening to others, asking them good questions, and actually caring enough to listen. If we care enough to listen to others, then we actually impact their life, and those impacts drive business success.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, people definitely build relationships by caring for other people. And one of the best ways you can show others that you do care for them is just to sit down and listen to what they have to say and listen to what their struggles are, and being willing to respond to their struggles and needs prayerfully and with action You know, sometimes the only action we can give them is our prayer, but a lot of times we can pray and do something for those folks. So when you feel led of the Lord to do that, be sure to take time to do whatever He'd command you to do. How about a productivity tool, Brandon? What would you say is your number one productivity tool, whether it's internet-based or non-internet-based, that enables you to be as effective as possible in the workplace?
I encourage everybody. It doesn't matter what position you have. Doesn't matter what you work on. I encourage everybody that I know to have some sort of CRM database, customer relationship management database, and to keep notes in a way in which you can keep them organized. I personally use a product called Zoho, which is typically a free product. I personally don't have the free version, but it can be free for many people. But managing your task, managing your calendar, managing your to-do list, and doing that with a customer relationship management tool is probably the most valuable thing that anybody can do, so that you're not forgetting about who they are, when you're supposed to meet somebody, what you're supposed to talk about, and prioritizing your day. But I personally use Zoho. There are many, many, many out there. Many of them are very good. But just using a CRM database or a tool that keeps your customers and your clients and your relationships managed so that you know who's who and what's what, and you don't let things fall through the crack is probably the most important tool that I have.
Yeah, that's a good tool. I use one for that's kind of specifically geared towards Gmail users. It's called Streak, and it's been pretty helpful getting me organized. But I'm going to check out Zoho again, too. I've heard of that before, but never really have delved deep into it. So that definitely deserves a second look.